You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Let's talk about issues now of rights of landlords when tenants breach a lease agreement. And we are joined by Silma Steyn, Managing Director at SSLR Inc. They are, of course, looking at such issues of governance and so on and so forth around these particular acts. Silma, good morning. Good to have you with us on the Clement Magnachella Show.
Hi, Tavu. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much.
That's very good. Thank you so much for having me on my favorite topic.
Listen, it's not only your favorite topic, but it's a hotly contested topic by many, I see, with the number of questions that we are already getting via the WhatsApp line. But let's talk broadly. I mean, in many cases, landlords really do think they have all the rights, I mean, to do as they particularly please with their properties, who they bring in, what they want done, the kind of expectations they have on how tenants should behave, and so on and so forth. Is it as blanket as that? I mean, do they have, I suppose, more rights being the property owners than the tenants themselves?
It's interesting. Usually I get the question framed in directly the opposite way. I usually get the question from the other side of the coin. Most of the times people will say, so now it feels like landlords have absolutely no rights and tenants sit with all the power. And the truth is, the reason why we have two sides of this coin is it's actually a very interesting part of the law. The right of ownership, the right of immovable property ownership, is actually not a separate right from the right of occupation. The right of occupation is obviously the right we deal with when it comes to rentals. Are you allowed to live in the property and use it and have possession of the property? And these two rights are actually not two separate rights. The right of ownership is a very complex right, and the right of occupation is actually part of the right of ownership. Now, why I'm starting with a boring lawyer answer like that is this is why there's such an issue when it comes to rentals and property ownership, because if you're the property owner, you have a real right, which is a very strong right, in comparison to the right of occupation being a personal right. So these two feel like they want to conflict each other, but they're not. If we look at the Constitution, Section 25 of the Constitution protecting the right of ownership, but it follows on Section 26, which is the right of occupation being protected. And Section 26 of the Constitution says that no person may be evicted or have their property demolished without a court ordering to do so after the relevant circumstances were considered. So what I mean by all of this is these two rights are not in conflict with one another, but it's part of one another. And this is why if you're the landlord, you feel like, I have no rights, my tenant's not paying, and now I have to go through court to obtain an eviction order.
Yeah.
And the tenant is feeling, I feel like I'm actually living in a hotel, but the landlord's not coming to fix the globe. Why should I be fixing the globe myself? You see what I'm saying? So it's the same coin.
Yeah.
Different perspectives. Is it a 6 or a 9?
So, I mean, the most popular question, and even now I see it on the WhatsApp line and everywhere else, is if the tenant fails, for example, to pay rent in time for the unit, right? The immediate advice, if you speak to your friends and your family, is terminate. Now get rid of them. Yeah. Is it as easy as that?
Well, it depends on what you have. So I'm assuming for this conversation, we talk mostly residential properties, commercial, retail, industrial, especially in the current market. You hold on to a paying tenant and you will sort of paying tenant and you will do everything you can to maintain the tenant and train him into being a good paying tenant. So I think let's swing to only talk about residential property, which I think is sort of the point of the conversation. The thing is, we do have legislation like the Consumer Protection Act. So in an instance where you have a fixed term agreement, so 12 months or whatever the case might be, and you have a natural person in the transaction, so say the tenant is a natural person, a person in his personal capacity, then the landlord must give the tenant a written notice, give him 20 business days, 20 clear business days to remedy his breach. So it's not a notice of cancellation. It's a notice that says, Mr. Tenant, you haven't paid your rent. You have 20 business days to get your, you know, your stuff in order, and then you can remain in occupation of the property. If the tenant doesn't pay the full arrears within that 20 business days, again, provided that you do the right letter of demand, and I'll tell you about that and how to do that. If he doesn't pay within 20 business days, then the landlord can cancel the agreement. But now the tenant is in illegal occupation. You can't just go in and kick him out, and I suppose we're going to talk about that a lot. But you can now approach a court to obtain an eviction order. And when I speak about evictions, I promise it will only be a court-ordered eviction. When everybody else in the country speaks about evictions, I think they're thinking more lockouts and baseball bats. But that's not a legal eviction. A legal eviction is a court-ordered eviction.
All right. We'll talk more about that. Let me take Tulani. He's in Roodepoort. Tulani, good morning.
Good morning, Bongani. How are you?
I'm good. Good. It's Thabo. Go for it.
Oh, sorry, Thabo.
Yes.
Yeah, man, I'm listening here. I'm hearing that we need to approach the court. But now, my problem is I have a tenant here. We had an agreement. We are not paying rent. We had an agreement, a signed agreement between me and him that he has to move out by a certain... I gave him 3 months instead of the 20 days. I gave him 3 months that by this time, this is your 3 months, please move out. But now, months have passed. He has no intention of moving. And now I'll end up breaking the law because now I've been asking him, when are you moving?
Yeah.
When are you moving?
Is he paying in the 3 months that he's staying?
He is not. Even now, he's not. You understand? He's in my place illegally. So now I need to find a recourse. What should I do that will help me before I break the law? Because... what will happen next is...
Silna, I don't know if there's an English word for this, and I can't help you, but Tulani will understand it. We are kwaka, yeah. Basically.
We are kwaka. We are kwaking that we are, you understand? So now I'm thank you for this topic, guys, because now I'm stuck, and
yeah.
I'm getting frustrated daily and daily and daily. Hence, I'll end up doing something that will put me in prison. So please help. What is
let's hear what Silna has to say. Thanks, Tulani. Hold on. Thank let's you. Hear what Silna has to say. Silna, I mean, in simple terms, kwaka means they're taking it by force.
By force, yeah.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Tulani, well, the good news is luckily my head office is in Roodepoort, so I don't know if that's a sign. But Tulani, the truth is we will have to do a full eviction application. But there is a very big misperception in normal life about evictions. What you will hear people say about evictions is it's going to cost hundreds of thousands of rands, and it's going to take you, you know, more than a year to get that eviction order. And that's simply not the truth. So my firm, because we specialize in evictions, we actually have all-inclusive fees. We broke an eviction down into 5 phases because I'm super passionate about the property industry in South Africa. And I want owners like you to know what it's going to cost you. If you ask an attorney, how much is an eviction going to cost? And they say, how long is a piece of rope, my friend? I mean, that doesn't put anybody's mind at ease. You're going to have to know what it's going to cost you and how long it's going to take. So if the property is in Roodepoort, I would actually suggest that you go to South Gauteng High Court. Some match courts are very good and effective at evictions. And it depends on where the property is. But the High Court evictions aren't supposed to cost anything different from a magistrate court eviction. The kind of work that we do as the attorney is exactly the same. So you should be able to start that process. And ideally, to give somebody 20 business days, then cancel. Rather commence then, because if you give them longer time, you're losing income in that time period. So let's start. And the moment the sheriff serves that eviction application on the tenant, the now illegal occupant,
yeah.
Usually they get a massive scare. Because remember, at this time, it's WhatsApps between the landlord and the tenant. Clear communication, obviously. The landlord is clearly not happy with the tenant there. But that doesn't mean the tenant's going to vacate. The moment so
it's not as simple as saying maybe I can go to the nearest police station and bring the police and say, well, this one is illegally occupying my property, must leave.
Not at all. And that's exactly the problem. The only time that would be a solution is if it's true trespassing. But I mean, we don't actually see that often. The police can't get involved because it's a civil matter. So you will have to go through a court. If your tenant's just not paying or not performing properly and you don't want them out, there you can go to the rental housing tribunal. But for an eviction, it must go through a court. The tribunal doesn't have jurisdiction to grant eviction orders.
Yeah. Is the landlord expected, here's one question, to find alternative accommodation? Is this still the case? I mean, why are we made responsible for adults? Please advise. That's Nomvula in Midrand.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad you asked this question. It has never been the case. So what the Prevention of Illegal Eviction Act says, and this is where this comes from, it says if you do not commence an eviction application within a period of 6 months of illegal occupation. So now remember, the fact that your tenant's not paying rent doesn't make him an illegal occupant. It's only at the point where you cancel the lease agreement after the 20 business days that your tenant stops being a tenant and now he's an illegal occupant. If you do not commence your eviction application within 6 months, the Act says now a court may, not must, a court may place an obligation on the landlord to find alternative accommodation. What it actually means is the legislator thought about somebody that left his property vacant for 10 years. Now people moved in. We can't just kick them out immediately. And how the courts apply this, and I'm saying in inverted commas, alternative accommodation, is really only in a situation where the landlord took forever to commence proceedings. And instead of demanding that the people vacate immediately, so an immediate eviction, the court will say, you know what, you have 2 or 3 months to vacate. And that's how the courts apply the alternative accommodation. Unfortunately, attorneys for years have been sending the message that if you don't do it quick enough, you will have to find them alternative accommodation in the form of you have to rent a property. That has never, there is not one case in South Africa where the court ordered something like that. Doesn't happen.
So a quick one then, Selena, let's help Tulane. So you're saying part of the 5 steps, one is to get the 20 days thing in place.
And cancel the lease agreement.
The lease agreement. What is step two of the eviction process?
So step two is where we draft the notice of motion and founding affidavit. So in more typical legal process, that you would call that your summons, but it's just not action process. This is application. So you have a notice of motion and founding affidavit. Ideally, with an eviction, you're never going to see your applicant, the owner of property, really in court. Everything should happen on application because it's much quicker. And that then gets served, the notice of motion issued by court with a court date on that, then gets served by the sheriff on the occupant. Now, then they know it's real because the sheriff was there.
And how quickly does this happen? What's the turnaround on these steps?
Phase one being now from letter of demand to cancellation takes 20 business days. Well, 21, you can cancel on day 21.
Right.
Phase two's commencement should be quick. I mean, it's going to take you a day or two to draft your founding affidavit and application goes to the court to get issued and then to the sheriff. So that shouldn't take more than a week. If you request urgent service, which we always do by the sheriff. So that takes about a week. But the full phase two takes about 2 months because that is where you go from issuing your application to actually being in court. And that's about 2 to 3 months, depending on how busy the court is that you are in.
Let's take some more questions then on WhatsApp as well, 0727021702. Here's one saying, when tenants want a deposit, they pay back, can they sue the landlord if they paid a rental agent or do they sue the agent? Tenants, let's start there.
Sure, it's an interesting question. That's actually one of those things that I would take to the tribunal. The Rental Housing Tribunal is beautiful when it comes to arrear rental collection, so the money part, or then collection of a deposit. And the beauty of the tribunal is you can go to the tribunal and say, well, this is my landlord. This is the rental agent. I don't know who has the deposit. I don't know who's supposed to have the deposit. So can somebody please let me know what's going on and pay my deposit back? The tribunal will then get the agent as well as the landlord into the conversation. And in first a mediation process, the parties can say, oh, goodness, yeah, I actually fired my agent. This is why I forgot about the deposit, and then resolve the matter like that. Or if that doesn't work on mediation, it will go on the actual hearing, and the tribunal will make an order that carries the exact same weight as an order from the magistrate's court, and can also be then executed through the magistrate court. So if that landlord doesn't pay your deposit as ordered by the tribunal, you can issue a warrant of execution through the magistrate court. Really do recommend that for money-related issues.
All right, let's take some WhatsApp voice notes then with some of your questions.
I just want to ask an interesting question. If I'm the owner and the tenant doesn't pay, and I tell him I'm going to do some maintenance on the property, and I take off the front door and the back door to do maintenance, and it's going to take 2 weeks, can he open a criminal case against me, or just tell me what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's very creative. Okay, let's take another question.
Hi, Thabo. Great topic. Listen, please ask your guest, what happens in an instance where I've just purchased the property, but before I take occupation or before I bought the property, there were tenants staying already in that property and not the owner of the of the property. The property owner put tenants in that property, and now the property has been sold to me. I want now to occupy now my property, but now the tenants who've been staying there for many years says we don't have a place to stay, now it becomes an issue. What happens in that aspect? Do I still have to go through the court order? Or as a new owner who does not know anything about the contract that was signed or the lease agreement that was signed between the ex-owner and the current tenants, I got no idea about what happened and what was agreed. As a new owner, can I just evict them by force, or do I still have to go through the court process? Charles Kensington.
Charles, much appreciated. Yo, Selma, I got lost in that question. I hope you got it, because it sounded a little bit technical for me. All right, let's start with Charles, and then we'll go back to the creative way of getting rid of your tenant. What is Charles's recourse here?
Charles, well, I'll start off by saying you can never, ever, doesn't matter which side you stand on, you can never forcefully evict a person. That's because of Section 26 of the Constitution. It does not discriminate on the form of ownership or whatever. We can't ever evict anybody ever without a court order. So that's the start. But what you're talking about is you purchased a property and then there was a tenant in occupation. Now, we have a Dutch law principle applicable in the South African law, and it is called Hier gaat voor koop. You can clearly hear the Dutch thing.
Yeah.
Basically says your rental, thank goodness I have a strong Dutch line here. So, the thing is, what it means is if you have a lease agreement in place, that right of occupation that I spoke of in the beginning is already traded with. So on transfer of the property, the purchaser now becomes the landlord. This happens ex lege by way of law. We don't have to do an addendum or anything. It will always happen unless the parties agree that the landlord and the seller now will cancel the lease agreement and you will have vacant occupation. What you have, though, as the purchaser is two things. One option is there wasn't a written lease agreement, and now suddenly there's this thing that popped up. It's a 15-year-old lease agreement, and it's continuing on a month-to-month basis. There, as the purchaser, you now have the right to cancel that lease agreement, terminate the agreement by giving 1 written month's notice of termination of the agreement. If they then don't vacate, you can commence eviction proceedings. Very often in these cases, I must say, we see lease agreements that were sort of made up towards the sale, and it's not really true lease agreements, but I mean, I can't say without looking at the document.
Yeah.
What you do have is if there is a lease agreement in place and there is a provision to cancel that, it's in terms of Section 4.5C of the Rental Housing Act, you will be able to cancel that lease agreement. If the tenant doesn't vacate, you will have to do an eviction.
My goodness. All right. Creatively, can I do that? Can I remove the front and the back door? Maybe leave them in the cold in winter? Maybe that will, you know, encourage them to leave.
Definitely not. I must say I've heard that one a few times. And I say this with respect to my colleagues. I've heard attorneys advising this. It's very wrong. And especially the fact that we need to uphold the Constitution. I roll my eyes openly. If an attorney advises this, this is spoliation. So spoliation is if somebody was in possession of a thing, even if the possession is illegal. Now, this is very important. Even illegal possession is possession. And if you interfere with that possession or deprive somebody of that possession, they can remedy that with the Mandement van Spolie, another Dutch law term. I hope we can swing to some Roman law at a stage. But the Mandement van Spolie is a remedy to restore possession. So to do that is interference with the possession. A tenant does have the right to undisturbed use and enjoyment of the premises. If they're not paying rent, it doesn't mean they are not a tenant. You have to cancel the lease agreement. But then, like I said, even if the possession is then illegal, you can't deprive somebody of possession. Why? Because we can't take the law into our own hands. If the law allows for something like that, what would protect you in a situation if you have an unscrupulous landlord that says you haven't paid, but you did, and now it just takes your doors off? So the law has to be fair on a 60 million people scale.
Goodness me. Now I understand why the landlords are saying they really have no power here. It looks like all the power is sitting with the tenant. Silia, so now, let's rather leave it there for now because of time. But if people would like to, I see because there are lots more questions, would like to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
That's easy enough. On my firm's website, www.sslr.co.za, you can contact us, or we on Facebook and Instagram, sslr.co.za. You are more than welcome to throw questions that in our way. We love to help and passionate about rentals and landlords and South Africa.
Much appreciated. Silia Steyn, Managing Director there at SSLR Inc.